Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I'm actually going to preach from verse 14 through 20, but it requires that I read the opening 13 verses for verses 14 through 20 to mean something. Now, I want to talk to you this morning about how about your heart. This morning, we're going to look at four types of ground, talking about the earth. And the ground is going to be in this parable. This is a parable of Jesus. It's going to be a euphemism or an analogy for the human heart. And every one of us in this room, starting with me, we will be in one of these. We represent one of these types of ground and may have in our lifetime been involved in each of these. So would you let me just read the opening 13 verses? If you're at Mark 4, verse 1, would you say amen?
Amen.
And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and he sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Now, he did that, of course, you folks understand, so that from the water he could speak and the sound carries right up to them. They didn't have a PA system, but they had God's public address system, and that's how they did that. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, which means in his teaching, hearken. That means listen. Behold, look up, think about this. There went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, or the seeds up. And some seed fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, not much soil. And immediately it, that is the seed, sprang up because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, the seed was, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some, that is seed, fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other seed fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up, and it increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100, meaning hundredfold. And he said unto them, now you folks who have ears and can hear, let those people hear. And he's not talking about physical ears. He's talking about understanding in your spirit what he's talking about. Verse 10 says, and so when he, that is Jesus, was alone, he by himself, they that were along with him, with the 12, they asked him of the parable. Now, when it says they ask him of the parable, Lord, what are you talking about? That's what that means. And he said unto them in verse 11, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. What did he mean by that? Unto you who are followers and disciples of me, it is given, God has given it, that you might know the mysterion, that which has not been revealed before is being revealed now. About the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, on the outside, they're not part of the covenant, they're not followers, they're not disciples, all these things that I've just said are being done and taught in parables. And here's why. You remember I've told you that anytime you find THAT, it establishes a purpose clause. Here's why. That seeing they may see, that is, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, that seeing they may see, that is, if you're on the outside, you won't perceive, and hearing you might hear, but if you're on the outside and you're not a follower of Christ, you won't understand, lest that at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Verse 13, Jesus said unto them, you don't know this parable? How then are you going to know any or all parables. I'm trying to help you understand, said the Son of God, that there are those who are outside the covenant of grace. There are those inside the covenant of grace. There are those who are indeed believers, those who are not believers. There are those in the kingdom of God. There are those who are not in the kingdom of God. And religion is not anything to do with it. It's about what's going on in the heart. Because if God is at work in your heart, you've got to understand just the ABCs of the kingdom of God. God is on the throne and nobody is his equal. He is king of his kingdom, and his kingdom means his rule. And God's rule begins in the hearts of people. And if we think that we're waiting on a time when God will bring Jesus back or send him back to set up rule on the earth, long before that ever happens, God's been sending his Spirit to set up the rule of his Son in the hearts of people. And the grand question for me to consider and you to consider, is God at rule in your heart this morning at all? Do you have an eye that can see spiritual truth? Do you have an ear that can understand spiritual truth? Do you have a heart that can discern spiritual truth? What about your heart and mine? I think it was maybe some months ago, Miss Joyce Croft sang on a Wednesday night a song that I heard growing up. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. Is it black by sin? Is it pure within? Could you ask Christ in to stay? People often see you as you are outside. Jesus really knows you, for he sees inside. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. Folks, that's the only thing that counts today. If your name is known worldwide as a household name and God doesn't know you on a first name basis, meaning you're not in a covenant relationship, honoring his kingdom's rule in your heart. Folks, I cannot get to heaven being the pastor of this church. There has to be in my heart some semblance of having surrendered to the kingship, the lordship, the rulership of God in my heart. And if God is in no measure ruling my heart, I'm kidding myself to think that because I go to church on Sunday, that when I die, I'm going to heaven. Now, I don't mean this. I've said this in revivals to be funny, but it's not really funny. Folks, there'll be enough of Baptist church members in hell to start a Bible conference because you can't get to heaven being a Baptist and being a church member. You have to be saved. You have to be born again. So this is what Jesus had to say. This ground is the human heart. You know what the seed is. It's the Word of God. And the Word of God is that which our life is governed by if we are in his kingdom and in his rulership. And it is to that kingdom that all of life relates. That's why we don't want to give ourselves to something that's going to evaporate and totally dissipate when we've drawn our last breath. Why would I want to spend my life giving myself to something that will have no value and be non-existent when I've drawn my last breath? But God's kingdom is going to matter after you've drawn your last breath. Because that God who said, I've revealed to you the mystery. I'm revealing to you something now that even the Old Testament saints did not fully see. But I'm revealing it to you. I am going to rule. I have a plan. I am a sovereign God. When I started in Genesis, I was headed to the revelation. And what took place in Genesis was taking place in my heart before there ever was a creation. And what I'm doing in my heart about my kingdom is going to, as Handel said in his writing of the Messiah, his kingdom is forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. His kingdom will never find an end. And I'm making that, said the writer, known to you. Now we know that the ground tells us there's four types of hearts. And we find that each heart receives the word in a different way and in a different manner. We will see this in the text. The sower is anybody that shares the word of God. And so how the word was received depended upon the type of ground, the type of heart that it fell on. Look at verse, please, 14. Jesus asked the question in verse 13, you don't know what this parable means? Well, let me tell you what it means, verse 14. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. This is the wayside ground. That's the first kind of heart. What is a wayside heart? A wayside ground is a hard ground. It's like the path that leads out to the field. It's an unplowed heart, and it results in a hardened life. It's that heart that either has not been in any sense rabid against God, but I'm just indifferent to the things of God. Folks, I know some people, and you see them on television, and you read about them, and you may have even known some personally that just hated the name of God. Did you see in the news this week where there was a group of people gathered in a public square to read the scriptures out loud, and there was a protest bunch, and the protest bunch grabbed one of them's Bibles, tore the pages out, stuck it in his mouth, and started eating the pages of the Bible. He was so adamantly opposed to the reading of the Word of God. Now, folks, it's bad to be like that. Would you agree with that? It may be worse that you can't be moved one way or the other. The person who says, oh, I'm not against God, but you really just don't care. If y'all want to enjoy God, enjoy God. It's not me. I don't need that in my life. You're going to need it a split second after you have drawn your last breath. That's when you're going to need it, and it'll be too late to get it. And so this wayside heart is very hardened. The life is one that has become hardened. The hard heart lacks any interest in to be disinterested in heaven and hell and eternity and what's taking place in time is an awful thing. And he said, here's why that heart is hard, that path and that ground is hard. Satan has come and taken away the seed that was sown. And the only thing that can change your heart and can plow up your heart is the Word of God, and that's why Satan doesn't want you to have it. In fact, in the New Old Testament, both through the prophet Hosea and Jeremiah, God said, break up your fallow ground. Do you know what fallow ground is? For a boy that was raised out in the country, fallow ground is ground that's never been plowed. And ground that has never been plowed is not in any sense fertile and ready to grow something. It's got to be broken up. And there's nothing that can break your heart up for God other than His Word. His Word applied by His Spirit is what changes the heart. It begins to cause things in your heart to have sensitivities that used to not have sensitivities. It begins to cause things to matter in your life. That's why we pray every day, God, may Your Word, may Your Spirit apply Your Word and do something additionally in this pastor and do something in those of our community that's never had the touch of grace on their life. We spend a lifetime tipping our hat to God, and all of a sudden, before you know it, something occurs generally in age that causes your mortality to face you, I mean this close, and you think, oh God. Folks, I'm trying to beg you to learn how to say, oh God, years before you face your mortality. When you get to the place that you can let your heart be plowed by the Word of God, you don't have to worry about dying because now you're ready to live. And the person who's learned how to live is the person who automatically knows how to die. That is in a relationship with God. That's the wayside ground. Number two, we have stony ground. Look at verse 16 and 17. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground who, when they've heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, we're not going to go back and read verse 5 and 6, but verse 5 and 6 said regarding this type of ground, there's hardly any soil there. So the stony ground has little soil. It is a ground that is what we would call rootless. It's shallow, it's restless, it's superficial, it's never content, it has no depth, and that person who speaks the right thing cares little to hold fast their profession of faith, because one holds fast their profession of faith when they have a spiritual root system and the stony heart doesn't have that. See, your flesh will give you a moment of emotion, and the flesh will counterfeit through religious feelings what you think a relationship is about. But folks, a relationship is a relationship. You love Jesus in the morning, you love Him in the evening, you love Him when the sun goes down. A relationship is together in the good times, in the challenging times, and in the awful times. And a relationship with God will not let you do what verse 17 said. Well, when they have to go through some difficulty, affliction, go through some persecution, for the word's sake, somebody's making fun of you, somebody's against you, somebody's called you a religious fanatic, and after all, you remember that neighbor or that person in your community went stone nuts on the Bible. I don't want to be associated with that. Folks, been a lot of people with the Bible went nuts, but the Bible never made anybody nuts. The devil's got sense enough to know as much as he can work hell's work with people who are immoral and on drugs and you name that type lifestyle of debauchery, he can also fool people by having them go nuts on religion. In fact, he would prefer to have some doing that. He wouldn't have us all druggies and drunks if he could. He needs some people who talk the right talk, appear to be religious, and they're just as goofy as they can be. How many times have we read where a person did something illegal and awful and even murderous, and they did it in the name of God? I read something in the last 2 days where the guy said that Jesus was the Antichrist, and at one point said he was Messiah, he was Christ. Folks, you got those nutcases everywhere. But we're talking here about a ground that is stony because in times of difficulty, they feel like, and how many times have I heard this? Pastor, we went through pressure and trouble. And folks, pressures and troubles are very real. And we prayed, and because God didn't answer our prayer, which means like we wanted Him to do it, then praying just didn't work for me. Folks, if you have surrendered your heart to a living King named Jesus Christ, He works every time, but He didn't make you king when you surrendered to Him. He's still in charge, and part of what it means to receive Him, I'm willing for you to lead my life and walk me through experiences that I'll not be able to walk through on my own. When the Lord called me to go leave my home and long before I married and go to work for Sam Cathy, back in those days, my friend and I did, or several in the church and I did, weddings together, funerals together, did music. So they said, don't you want to sing something before you leave your home church? And on the last Sunday, I sang a song that I think you need to take very caution in if you don't know that song, Whatever It Takes. I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain. Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. For whatever it takes, for my will to break, that's what I'm willing to do. He said, well, I wouldn't want to sing that. I wouldn't want to say that. Folks, you belong to God. Do you really believe that you'll walk through a difficulty that will ultimately, in the eternal plan, be for your detriment? You must not know who He is. He's not out to put His foot on you. He's out to transform your heart, and you are your strongest and you are your tallest when you are surrendered and submitted to Him. Do you have a stony heart today? There's a third type of ground, and that's in verse 18 and 19, and it is a thorny ground. Look at 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word of God. These hear the word of God. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word. And it, that is the word, becomes unfruitful. Thorny ground. What did he say thorny ground is? It's a worldly heart. Coming out of a rural setting that grew gardens and crops, I can tell you there is a reason that we had to hoe the garden and other crops. Weeds will choke out whatever the main crop is. It takes nothing special to get a weed to grow. Weeds will grow when nothing else will grow. And he says that the thorny ground is the heart that has been strangled by the other things that's growing there. And here he tells us what they are. Do you see what's growing in the heart that has become thorny? He says they're the cares of the world. Cares means these things are distractions. And then he says the deceitfulness of riches. The delusion that if only I had $1 million, if only I had another $1,000 a week, if only I had, and you fill in the blank, if I had that, my life would be complete. It'd be more messed up than it is right now because you think it's found in stuff. Folks, a blessed life is found in one that's rightly related to its creator. And then he said there's one more thing that causes it to get choked. He says here in that 18th verse or 17th verse, he says, and the, or 19th verse, and the lust, just the desire, plain old desire for other things. I don't want this to make anybody uncomfortable, but here's a man and woman. It can happen to either one. They stood at a wedding altar. They were so much in love before they stood at that wedding altar, they could have eat each other up. Love was so thick, their feet didn't touch the ground. And they lived together for a while, and that while can be, I've dealt with the infidelity at 6 months, I've dealt with it way up into the years of marriage. But at some point, that man or that woman, it could have been either one, who loved that person and was so devoted, began to desire somebody else. Now, why they did that is probably more reasons than I've got mind enough to even imagine. But somewhere the devil told them, this is better. The devil, one of his major things is to make you believe that the grass is greener right over there. If I only had a job like they had, I'd be happy. If I could only live in their subdivision, I'd be happy. If my children was like their children, I'd be happy. If my husband was like that man or that woman's husband, I would be happy. That grass is greener. What you don't know is how much of that is growing over a septic tank. And if you only knew the garbage of that heart and life, you would never again think that the grass is greener on the other side. And so these things smother spiritual growth. There's not room in your heart to love two masters. That's not my opinion. That's what the Bible says. No man can love and serve two masters. He will either love one and hate the other. It is not possible to have two number ones. And for any couple to stay married for a duration, it is because they're willing to go through thick and thin, and their number one trait is not love. Their number one trait is commitment, because I do love the person, and my proof of it is not a 10-carat diamond nor a mansion somewhere on the lake, but my proof of it is that I am committed to him or her through thick and thin, when I'm not well, when she's not well, and we will grow old together with all the aches and pains, and along the way recognize that this is what God has determined. Folks, there's a reason my body's wearing out, and yours is too. Even if you're in this place today, 16 years old, I'm going to whisper something to you. Yours is wearing out. Just give it time. You're going to say, that pastor said when I was 16 years old, I was wearing out and I didn't believe him. That old person, maybe like your pastor that you're seated by and they limped in here today, you stay here long enough, you're going to limp. That elbow that's giving you fits or that shoulder that hurts so bad, yours is going to hurt. And I believe, I don't have scripture for this, but I believe that God, the reason God lets these things progressively wear out is to say, I've told you all along you were mortal. You're not going to be here forever. I'm trying to tell you about a kingdom that is forever, but you're not in it yet. And folks, we will never be in that kingdom until we honor the King in our hearts and let His kingdom set up rule right now. And here's the beauty of this. The moment His kingdom sets up rule in your heart, you're not going to get eternal life. You already have it right here. The Holy Spirit, He said, is the down payment. He's the earnest. We give earnest money on a purchase. He's given us the Holy Spirit to say, all that I've promised is coming your way right now. And folks, that means we in here today who got all these aches and pains, one of these days we're going to talk to each other in a brand new body and don't even know what pain is. Somebody say hallelujah. That's good news. So this thorny ground lets all these things he mentioned, the cares, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things, choke, crowd out. Could we get to the place, I don't know whether we ever have or not, but could we get to the place that we could say this to the Lord? Lord, I don't have one thing in my life that I want changed unless you want it changed. Do you see the difference? You'll never get through buying. You'll never get through moving. You'll never get through desiring somebody or something else as long as you think, I know, that would make me happy. Folks, if God had given most of us what we thought would make us happy, if we were even alive at all today, it would be miraculous. Have you noticed how many people have won the lottery and lost their lives? There's some people that's done a study on this where they won $1 million or more and they absolutely went to nothing. Their families went to nothing. Thank God for what you have, but thank God for what you don't have. And say, dear Lord, don't entrust me to something that I'm too foolish to know how to manage. And may your kingdom be the most important thing in my heart and in my life. Last kind of ground he mentions is in verse 20. He said, and these are they which are sown on good ground. What is good ground, Pastor? He says, such as hear the word, they receive it, and they bring forth fruit. Now, a fruitful heart is a good heart. It's an honest heart. It's a fertile heart. A fertile heart is a heart that has interest. Dear God, if you have something to say, would you give me understanding of it? I want to know what you value so that what you value, I will value. And Lord, if there are those things that you disesteem, that you put down, and that you tell us we should shun, Lord, give me enough understanding of it that I will shun that. And this fruitful heart is where the word grows. And when the word grows in any heart of any age, be it a child or an older person, there will be fruit, spiritual fruit. He indicates here that that kind of heart will hear. Do you hear the Word of God? Do you spend enough time in the Word of God? Now, don't respond to this publicly, but the last time you heard something about the Word of God, was it last Sunday when your pastor was spoon-feeding you, or have you had the Word of God in your lap and reading it during the course of the week? You can't read the Word of God and something not happen in your soul because it is alive. So he said they receive it. They put the Word into action. They receive it as though it is what it is, and they begin to act on it. And the heart, like good soil, brings forth good fruit. I started with this question. How about your heart? Not your neighbor's, not your wife's, not your husband's, not your children, not your Sunday school teacher, not your class members, pastor, not your church members, but pastor, how about your heart? Would you pause with me just a moment? And I want to ask that there be nobody getting up, moving around for just a moment. Would you bow, please? Spirit of the living God, I don't know how any scripture could be any plainer than what you explained to us on the pages of Holy Writ. I ask you, O God, the Holy Spirit, do whatever in your grand heart and wisdom you deem appropriate to seal that into our understanding, into our psyche, into our spirit, so that that which you would desire to come forth from it will begin to take root and bear in our hearts. Lord, your kingdom is coming, and your kingdom in some regard has already come in the hearts of the people who've received you, but today it could be that your kingdom needs to come in someone else's heart. May the same Spirit of God that spoke creation into existence, the same Spirit of God that regenerates, bring life-transforming power to each of us by saving those that are lost and by taking we who are your children to a level we have never been before. Thank you for your progressive grace that works in our lives to sanctify us and make us into your image. Bless these moments of response, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with the pastor? Brother David leads us in this.